call order the 7 a.m. August 29th, 2016 meeting of Dairy Township Board of Supervisors pertaining to the federal energy contract we entered into by Dairy Township. We have with us Jay Franklin, who hopefully will be able to address questions that the supervisors have, and we'll move forward with the call order and roll call.
Mr. Weir?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Ms. Court? Mr. Engel? Chairman Moyer?
Here.
Chair Quorum?
Thank you.
I forgot to admit the pledge, so you want to do the pledge?
Sure.
Yes, it's my
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And although it's closed in the meeting room, I want to advise those questions pending this meeting that it is an active policy of the dairy to take the meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Mr. Franklin, do you have anything you want to present to us before we fire questions?
No, just came here to address any questions.
Is it, Mr. Chairman, I know you and I have spoken over the weekend.
Yes.
Is it worthy for me to provide any?
I think it would be extremely beneficial, Mr. Franklin, perhaps.
I think the easiest thing to start with is that, really, it goes back almost 2 years, this process, in which the county had approached myself via the ICDA for another solar project within the county. And as we explored that, we thought it wise to reach out to our energy or environmental control specialist here engaged in the township and review that. And what has come from that is it's just a process by which we looked at whether other facilities were going to make sense, how are they going to interact with our current energy and energy needs, and more importantly, how do we maximize the benefits for the township. And as time went on, we evolved into leaving a site that was on Gravel Hill Road, and really bringing up all of that here onto this complex, the municipal complex. And in that time frame, we then discovered that we had, instead of just some proactive measures that we needed to address, we really had to be a little bit more reactive with some rather large looming capital improvements or capital replacement projects. And so today, really what I wanted to make sure that we all understood is where this started. Because we didn't go out seeking to do an energy procurement contract. Really, it was about looking at alternative sources of energy and how do we reduce those costs that we incur here right now. And I think, as I shared both with the chairman and Mr. Franklin in the last meeting, one of the big sounding bells that I had was our facility energy costs in general, where we are at compared to the norm. And obviously, we've got a pretty long road ahead of us to get to par, quite frankly. We're way above the norm. And I think we've just got to take a number of steps. And these are going to require some significant capital. And I think by virtue of that, the projects that we're looking at right now are cost saving and forward thinking, and also looking at alternative sources or renewable sources of power. So.
Thank you, Mr. Foley. One of the things that I was primarily concerned about and thought we needed this meeting for was I'm primarily interested in the costs to the township, benefits to be derived by the township, and the risks, potential risks, if any, that the township faces by entering into these contracts. And the only way to know that is to get into a bit of detail about some of the provisions of these contracts on those three issues, and that's why I thought this meeting was important.
I think nationally the trend is to move in this direction of renewables, but here we also have the problem of maintaining equipment that is now needing maintenance very badly. So again, I followed the process past 2 years and see it coming to this, and think there's a lot to be gained by doing something about this, but I want to be sure it's going to correct.
or the company that's actually going to be producing.
Well, maybe even start then with the relationship between your company and the company that's producing. That would even be helpful just to kind of get that 10,000 foot overview, I suppose.
Sure, sure. My company is NRG Controls. We do energy management and building control systems.
So you want to hit the blue button?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
My company is NRG Controls. We do energy management and building control systems. We were kind of brought on by the township to kind of look and assess where the township is energy-wise. And, you know, we had some various reports on where you guys stood energy-wise. What we did, one of the issues, and I got to go in a little bit of detail here, so I don't have a quick answer for you. One of the issues that came up when we started looking at the project and addressing the energy management as a whole was, hey, we have a great project for you here. I can get a company to come in and do what's called a guaranteed energy savings project. And that sounded great. What that is the company comes in, does $2 million worth of work. They guarantee you you're going to save $40,000 a year, however it works out, let's say $100,000 a year. And you take out a bond, pay them, and then you pay for that bond through your guaranteed energy savings. The issue that came up was that the township was too close to its bonding, to borrowing limits. So we kind of had to take a step back and say, okay, how do we look at addressing these issues? So what we actually came up with was actually a really unique solution. Not many people were doing this. So what we did is we went out, we got a couple quotes on the solar array. Let me take a step back. All three of these we do in different places, but we might not do them all at once. So, like, we do energy procurement for Manheim Township School District, but we don't do it for Anvil, we own a school district. Capacity management for Elizabeth Town School District. Bringing all these things and bringing the financing under the table, which is where CoreWeave came in. CoreWeave is actually a new company. The gentleman, I was working with him on developing the project through a company originally called Amp Solar. And he left that company and started his own company. And he's kind of bringing the financing and the energy to the table. So to answer your question, that entity has not done this anywhere. But we as a group have done the project, pieces of it everywhere. Does that answer your question?
Yes, no, it does actually.
And you know, knowing that it's a new company, there is always some concern with that. But however, since Township is not actually paying for anything, all the risk is on the contractor. If he were to go out of business tomorrow, it's actually a great thing for the Township. You would get all this stuff and not have, you know, someone would come in probably and the savings would have to be made to that entity, but there's no risk to the Township.
So there's no money that we would be putting out other than paying them initially out of the money that we would normally pay for our energy anyway.
Yeah, so there's actually only one of the contracts actually has money out of your pocket. That is the capacity, that is the curtailment management contract. But you only pay that in the year after you, actually the year of the savings. As you are accruing savings, you are paying only that savings amount. So there's nothing in excess of that. So how curtailment works is you curtail in 1 year, and then your savings are realized in the following year. So it's in that following year where you'll be making payments to Coral Reef for the savings they've already achieved for you, but you'll be paying it in the year that you are achieving your, that you are realizing your savings. Does that make sense? Other than that, the only payment out of pocket is obviously for the energy, whether it be through buying the energy through the grid or buying the energy through the solar array.
So in other words, when you say paying, we're simply paying back the energy savings from the prior year with a net zero. essentially.
Correct. And there is no minimum, so if they don't save you anything,
we don't pay.
You don't pay anything.
So Jay, even though this, this is probably the right legal word, but this consortium of groups that you're putting together is new, are there other townships that you know of that have done something like this with another company?
Probably not. Not that I know of.
What sort of capital improvements are we looking at that we can derive the benefits of savings by having a coral reef take care of, such as there were some discussions at the last supervisor meeting about roof units that need to be replaced at the cost of six figures plus that we would otherwise have to purchase, but under these agreements we would not have to.
Yeah, so in order to manage your, it actually works out twofold. In order to manage your capacity, your transmission, number one, those units need to be working, and number two, those units have to be broken out from the command room. Because you can't really curtail anything in that command room because you've got to be very sensitive to temperature and humidity. It's kind of twofold, but yes, two rooftop units, they're number four and number seven. Probably means nothing to you right here, but if you were to look at the as-built drawings, the police department units 4 and 7, as well as we're going to be sectioning off rooftop unit 4 from the command room and provide a separate cooling unit for the command room.
And how much would that cost ordinarily if we just go out there and contract something like that?
Probably 200. Right?
Per unit?
No, total. To do the engineering, to do proper units.
Out the door about 200,000.
Yeah.
And that those costs now would be assumed by Coral Reef?
Correct.
Under the terms of the payback provisions of the energy savings and the combination of what's laid out in these contracts.
Yep. The other capital improvements are the building of management system needs upgraded, and also the replacement of all seven of the rooftop unit controls. Now, one has been replaced. We have done on an emergency repair. However, we would just like to move that over to the existing contract, the billing and so forth. That was kind of done in an emergency item there.
I don't know if the rest of the board, have you guys ever met the representative from Coral Reef? Could you tell us a little bit about this person and how the structure works? Like, would you be our point of contact moving forward, and who is?
Yeah, so I would be the, so I would be the project manager, paid directly out of their fees. But I would be the point of contact for the township. I would project manage the project. The owner is actually local. This gentleman by the name of Corey Wolf. So he's run ESI Solar out of Jonestown, Beneficial Energy Solutions, and so forth.
Jay, I understand there are four contracts at issue here, three particular types of contracts, is that correct?
Yes.
Could you just very briefly describe those three types of contracts?
Sure. So the first type, let's start with the electric procurement, that's probably the easiest, is we actually broke up the those contracts into two sub-contracts. Those are basically for the procurement of energy. So what we're doing is you guys pay a certain rate for energy right now. We know that we can procure a much lower rate. So what we're going to do is maintain the rate at the same level. And the difference, so that there we're leveraging the savings that we can achieve to help offset these costs.
How many years is that lock-in?
That's a 5-year lock-in. And we thought that was a good time just because energy rates are low right now. We do expect them to move up in the relatively near future. We broke that up into two. The reason why that had to be broken up into two separate contracts was we're only going to be managing the fees called capacity and transmission. Those are, you'll see those in the contracts as PLC, which is peak load contribution, and SPL, which is the network service peak load. For everywhere outside of the Derry Township Municipal Complex, we are lumping those fees into the rate. For the municipal complex, since we're going to be actively managing your capacity and transmission, we are separating those charges out. So you will have a fee for, instead of seeing it all under one, how it works now is you get a bill, your kilowatt hour charge is 7.17 cents a kilowatt hour, or then you see a gross receipt tax. What you'll now see for the township building, it'll be your kilowatt hour price, your capacity, your transmission charges, and your gross receipt tax. You guys pay a premium for the supplier to take that risk on themselves. So, you know, again, the plan is to grow that to more township buildings, because that is about, or represents about 2 cents of your kilowatt hour charges, your capacity, your transmission, and your fee, or your premium that the suppliers charge for taking on that risk. Oh, so sorry. And then, so for the, does that give you an overview of, am I moving too quick?
No, no, that's good. That's the capacity and transmission contracts.
Yes.
Two of them. Contract will take on the risk of the rates going up and absorbing the delta there in cost.
Yeah, so what we've looked at is over the last, again, we take a long view of the energy rate, so over the last 25 years, the average increase is 4% through our local PP&L, and then looking through the township's local bills, there was quite a bit of fluctuation. You know, some years we had 12% increase, some years are down, some years are up. So what we did is we leveled it off for 5 years, so there's no, you don't have to worry about any budgeting for, because you really can't budget for energy increases. You don't know when they're coming, and you don't know what the magnitude of it would be.
So under the capacity transmission contract, I'm trying to think the best way to answer this question. If we don't use as much, or we realize more of a savings, the contractor then derives that benefit, correct? And the contractor is the one who is going to manage peak hour?
Correct.
Would that be under this contract?
That would be under the performance-based curtailment service.
Okay, all right, we'll talk about that one. Okay. We'll talk about that contract.
Yep, so, again, jump into capacity and transmission costs real quick first. There's two fees. They're based off 5 peak hours during the year. The township pays a little over $50,000 a year for what's called capacity and transmission. Really, they're two separate charges, but it's about 50-50 here, which is odd. That's probably due to this building having all electric heat. Usually the transmission is a third of what the capacity charges are, but here it's about 50-50. So the curtailment services agreement, they will monitor the grids, both the PJM and the PP&L grids. They will determine the peak load hours, and they will curtail, they will make adjustments to the building based on those peak hours so that the savings can be realized. So where that comes into play is what both of those grids do for their prospective cost is they look at their 5 highest peaks during a particular time span. For capacity, it's May 31st to September 30th, and transmission runs year round. From January 1st to December 31st. So let's take capacity. So during that time period, when there is a peak on the PJM grid, which is basically Pennsylvania, Jersey, Maryland, but it's really almost half the country. So when that peak hits, when those peak hours hit, the system will adjust the building in order to shave down low. And that's where their savings will be derived. And the same thing will happen for transmission. Now, you see those savings the following year. So, I get confused on... billing rate, the billing time period for capacity, I believe, starts in June of the following year. Or is that that one? Yeah, so I believe the capacity charges run from June 1st to May 31st of each year, and transmission runs right after. So you have a transmission period of January 1st to December 31st, but the billing period starts that next January 1st and runs. Now, capacity is set at a three-year auction, so that price, you always know what your per kilowatt demand charge is after 3 years. Transmission fluctuates throughout the day. They have the right to change that at any time.
And because the contractor is incentivized under these contracts to maximize our energy use during non-peak hours, they will be actually the ones that are setting the upwards and lower parameters of how warm the building is and how cool the building is, correct?
Yeah, actually, the parameters are actually set by the contract.
And that's what I was going to say. Ordinarily, then that would incentivize them to essentially not have heat in this building all winter long to maximize their profits, but the contract has parameters that keep the temperatures of these buildings within certain narrow parameters, correct?
Yes, and that's where we get into the, let me dive into one area to get a little granular. So there's different techniques with how you manage that. Obviously, for a school during the summer peak loads, when you're talking about capacity, we're just cutting everywhere. I mean, to the point where we're controlling breakers and cutting breakers. No one's in the school during the summer, during those peak hours. This building isn't the same scenario. So there's different techniques you can use. I'll give you an example. If we have a transmission hour coming up during the winter, what you can do is raise the temperature internally, just say a degree to a degree and a quarter, and then once the peak hour hits, you allow the building to coast. So now this building will be a little more challenging in that there's so many insulation issues and infiltration issues. Normally you could let a building coast for 2 to 3 hours and you don't have much of a loss of heat or cooling. So that will need to be tweaked throughout the course of the year. But we won't be touching any major pieces of obviously emergency equipment or so forth.
If I may, while we're on the in-site agreements, I noticed there in the letter of exclusivity indicates 608 Clearwater Road, 620 Clearwater Road, but doesn't reference the tax office address, which is referenced in one of the other.
Well, the tax office is actually underneath the administration office bill. So there's two bills for this complex. One is for the police department, one is for the tax office / administration office. So the address on the bill is probably just the address that you would use.
Okay, and then in Schedule A of the management agreement, if you will, we have listed the administration, tax office, and police department separately, so I have a concern.
Okay.
Even some inconsistency, but there may be an explanation for it.
Yeah, I would say the only explanation for that is, again, the one is just referencing the account, the PP&L account, which is why we only use the two addresses.
If you look at the on Schedule A, the account numbers are for the tax office and the administration building. So the police is a separate account number.
I'm just saying that
no.
The document is confusing because you can list both of them in one place and three of them in the other place.
It should be consistent.
Well, but it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, one is referencing the utility bill, one is referencing the actual facility. But we need to make those adjustments.
And then related to that is, with respect to the second contract with the site, where the, it looks like most of the street lights, and that type of thing. In that case, the generation, capacity, transmission, everything is included in that one, I think.
Correct.
And I guess there's a reason for that big difference than the first contract.
Yeah, the reason being is we wanted to, with those areas, we're not, with those buildings, we're not going to be managing the capacity and transmission.
Okay.
So we're going to have the supplier take on those risks.
And in that case, there's a, it says exclusive of gross receipts tax.
Yes, whatever the gross receipt tax would be.
There is no gross receipts tax mentioned in the first agreement. So there is no gross receipts tax there?
Correct, yes.
Okay, that's it. All right, that answers my question for now.
So, Jay, after 5 years under the transmission, capacity transmission contracts, what happens in terms of, right now it's what, 7.4 cents per kilowatt hour? Something.
Yeah, oh, you're back to the procurement agreement?
Yeah.
Then the township can go out and procure energy on their own. Quite frankly, what we're going to be doing in that time period is we're going to be looking for opportunities to buy year six, year seven. We're going to be looking for buying opportunities. You're under no obligation to. But typically a customer, which is kind of whiteboard, but typically a customer waits till their energy contract is close to being up. Then they go out, they put their procurement out for bid. But the problem is they're only looking at that narrow time period. They could have bought that energy 3 months earlier for a lot less, or they could have bought it a month later for a lot less. So we'll be looking at the dips and the prime opportunities. Then the township has the opportunity to A, sign on at a new rate for that year if they want to look out that far. Or we can look at fitting more projects, or we can keep the rate flat and look at putting more capital projects under the contract. That's more phase two and more phase three, which we don't really, I'll reference, but not really get into in details.
Okay.
Okay. Does that answer your question on that? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Weir.
This is going to take care of two rooftop units. What happens 6 months from now if they have two more go out?
You're in a bind. As soon as we get phase one started, then we'll start the engineering to look at phase two. Again, I'd like phase one to be implemented. I'd like the township to go through a year or 18 months, say, hey, this is great. We saw some energy savings. We don't have any maintenance issues, et cetera. And then we'd like to come in with a phase two and a phase three to address the additional capital projects, like the additional rooftop units, as well as some of the energy savings measures that we originally wanted to put in the project but that we took out, such as the building envelope, LED lighting, paddle fans in the tax office, something with the breezeways, whether that be solar film or so forth. If anything happens in 6 months, township would have to deal with those the way they would deal with any kind of failures that would come up in 6 months. I don't have an answer for if 6 months something happens. I don't think we'd be in a position to just move on with phase two. I think we really need to get phase one down and then move on from there.
Do those systems usually have to seek failure, or do they just become less efficient until they're trying to poop out on you?
It's like an old car.
Yeah.
So,
and under that scenario, the contractor will bear the risk of the lesser and lesser efficiencies along the way. I mean, we're not going to be paying for those lesser efficiencies. We're going to be paying a fixed rate and just simply pay back the cost savings to.
Yeah. Well, the township would have a. Would be if you're using more energy, you're going to be paying more money.
Okay, so
if those units do get, now what you're talking about would be more of a guaranteed energy savings.
Yeah.
And that was something we'd like to propose in phase two.
Okay.
But for right now, yes, the township would have an increased cost.
And on some other contracts?
Yes, I'm sorry, back to the contract. So let me just touch on making sure I hit everything on the curtailment side. So yeah, at the end of the 5 years on the curtailment side, the township then owns all the infrastructure that was installed to manage that. So in the township, if they don't move any further ahead with any more projects, the township then can actively manage, or they can contract out to actively manage, but receive a greater percentage of the savings. So, the example, like Elizabethtown, we do an active management contract for them. We keep 25%, they keep 75%. But when we look back at some of what our goals were originally for the project, one of the goals was to build our energy management infrastructure so that we continue to make improvements and adjust to changing technology in the future. The one note on the payment on the curtailment, it's what we did there is instead of billing the township every month, because you're going to get a capacity and transmission fee for this building every month on your utility bill. We could just bill you monthly, but I think that would be for the savings. So if you think, we took the baseline year, take the savings off that, divide it by 12, and that would be the monthly savings. We could bill you monthly, but we thought that would be a hassle for everybody involved. So we just made one annual bill for both those. I think we touched on everything on that.
Okay, while you're on that, though, under warranties.
Under
warranties of that particular agreement, it looks as though all of the warranties are going to be assigned to the township to the extent that it can be.
Correct.
And then there was something in there about Reef would obtain the good title of the equipment or refund to claim the purchase price of the non-conforming equipment. So it sounds to me like then we would be replacing that non-conforming equipment that initially Coral Reef is putting in.
I think that's
language for maybe a prior contract.
Yeah, let me take a look at that here again. I am
on section Roman numeral 8. And while you're looking at that, who is AMP? AMP, capital AMP.
Oh, AMP is a holdover from another contract. That's embarrassing.
Cut paste issue.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to, it's in there a couple different places and it's confusing to me.
That's from a separate contract.
All right.
It's not the AMP that went out of business.
Oh, I figured that was too long ago. But if they were still doing well with it, that's.
It's under warranties, remedies. What section is that under? What subparagraphs?
It's 8A, about a third of the way down. Should the equipment fail to conform to warranty of title, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, yeah, that just looks like basically minor. Yeah, what I would understand from that is should the, they're going to put equipment in, if it's not working, Coral Reef has the ability to fix the unit or pay you for the unit, so you're not. So you would get, then yes, the township would have.
So we would buy the equipment with the money that you pay us. They wouldn't be taking care of that.
Yeah, I don't think that would ever come to fruition, but.
Okay. And then maintenance of the equipment installed is going to be, it looks to me, like under the township.
Yes, the township would maintain all equipment just like they currently do.
Yeah, okay.
This is involved with that maintenance.
With rooftop units? Filters, belts, checking amperage draws, running through a space, sequence of operation, lubrication of dampers. You don't have any valves, well, you have a gas valve, so you would go run the gas through the different stages. We actually want to be able to use more gas in these new units. One of the issues with your units now is they have what's called gas heaters that are only supposed to use in the morning to send out a bunch of heat right in the morning before everyone gets here, and then the VAV boxes maintain a little bit. The problem is you can't use that gas then any other time during the course of the day because the gas, the amount of heat that it would put out at that time would be too high. It doesn't modulate very well. So when we get to the gas valve, we want to have a unit that we can run down to lower air flows, so that we can use gas heating in a situation like a polar vortex. We had those a couple winters ago. We were using here all electric heat to try and keep these buildings up, but we'd like to be able, in those situations, be able to use gas heat. So in those situations, we want to make sure the gas valve is working properly and so forth. The tubes and stuff on the rooftop units.
And that maintenance is done by HAPSIP?
Currently, you subcontract that out to NRG.
But still our responsibility. From a physical plant perspective, there would be no change.
Correct. To answer all those questions, we'll go on to the solar.
Yep.
This one probably is one I've got the most questions on. Basically, we put in a solar array out back here. I don't know if you guys saw the pictures, what that would be. So the township is entering into a long-term agreement to buy the energy from that solar array. We could look at it two ways. The biggest question is, hey, how do we know that the rate we're paying over 20 years is a decent rate? We can't have them use it off of the index, but again, one of the goals that we set forward was to kind of stabilize long-term energy pricing. So if we price it off the index, if pricing goes down, you would see a decrease also in your contract. However, the opposite is true. If prices go up, you will also see an increase in your energy prices as well. So we thought, since these prices came in very well, that we would just lock these in for the 20 years. We would need now all maintenance to the solar. Now that one is all done by, would be all insurance and maintenance would be done by Coral Reef. They just need reasonable access to the system. I think there is something in there that you have to have basic security, like you provide for this building. You know, they're not looking for you to put new security out there, but just basic security that you have for this building. You would afford. So let's say you have the lights are usually out, the soffit lights are usually on out here. I don't know if you don't have any cameras. So I don't think you have any cameras on the back side of the building.
Fire generator,
okay. So if that camera was only looking at the generator, that's fine. But if you had that camera looking over the whole
thing. Putting another camera is not that difficult.
Okay. I don't think it would be required. In fact, if that was something you don't have now, that would be the contractor's responsibility if they wanted to add security that's not currently here.
Police cars back all 24/7 anyhow.
Yeah, if someone gets to it right behind the police station,
more power
to it.
Okay, the life expectancy of these units. Replacement is contractor responsibility under the contract.
Yeah, so remember, you only pay for the energy that it produces. So again, the township's not liable for a set amount each year. If these panels aren't working or they're become inefficient, the contractor loses, not the township.
Right, but let's say at 15 years, this is a 20-year contract, 15 years life expectancy of these units are what?
The panels themselves, you're probably looking at 30 years.
Or the cells or whatever.
Yeah.
I know that they have a life expectancy. Something like that. I just would, at the end of this contract period, don't want them to reach the end of their life expectancy, and then if we want to continue on after that, we have to essentially buy all new units.
Yeah, so, and then actually the benefit to doing a longer term contract, because the panels themselves are going to last 30 years. The cost that comes in is the inverters. The inverters are about a 15-year time period. So at 15 years, even if the township wants to buy it, they would probably want to wait until those inverters. So there might be a little, a waiting game going on as to when those inverters fail. But that's typically those inverters get replaced in 15 years. Again, the contractor has the incentive to replace those because those aren't producing energy. They're not selling anything.
And that would be a contractor cost, not township cost.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Which means that essentially after 20 years, if we decide to exercise our right and own those panels outright, we have relatively new converters.
Yes. Yeah. It's basically putting a new engine in the car.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now the panels will lose some efficiency. It's about 0.5% a year. Mm-hmm. But the panels, they'll be rock solid for about 30 years. There might be, and at that point, you'll have increases of technology that if you put the same size panel up, you're going to probably have four times the amount of electric generation. So as you replace single panels, so if you have the new inverters, again, the infrastructure is in place to add on to the system, whether it be physical size and generation, or swap out for newer technology products as technology gets cheaper and more efficient. There's a lot in that contract. Is there anything you wanted me to specifically address? I could probably talk for another hour and a half on that.
Any risks associated, such as early termination provisions?
Yeah, the early termination, again, we originally put that as a buyout clause, but that got changed when we sent this to legal. There is a risk if you want to get out of the contract early. The contractor would have to get back his money for the other investments he's put out, as well as for the solar. I don't really see that being something the township would want to do, especially in the first 5 years. I mean, once we get to year six, the other issue with the buyout is if they do not own the system for the entire 5 years, they have to return all any tax credits they received. So. That's an issue, and it's a little bit vague as to if they have to return the prorated amount of their tax incentives or the total amount of their tax incentives. So that's why you see the first 5 years, the buyout or the early termination fee is very large, because you're paying for the solar array, the complete cost of the solar array, as well as all the capital improvements that they've invested in. But then once you get to year six, I think it's really at that point it's a 7-year payback. I think it just goes down from there. So I think it's a fairly fair contract to the township. 7-year return on investment is not certainly not horrible. If they wanted to buy the system outright at that point. And if energy spikes during that time, it might actually be a 5-year payback or a 6-year, or vice versa. If energy goes down considerably, the return would go the return on investment would go up. But I can't really foresee any. I'm sorry.
Okay, just two more things with respect to the contract. One is, let's get that AMP thing out of there.
Sure.
Let's check on, I think we're probably okay on the substitution of the equipment on that part of it.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, if we could clarify those areas, because there seems to be an exhibit that I couldn't find in the very first paragraph, exhibit B at reference. And we go from schedules to exhibits to whatever, and I think we need to be a little more consistent with what there.
Okay,
that we don't have to have benefits.
Yeah, like on our outline or our whatever, D3, page D3 references exhibit B, could find it to the G, page D16, double 16 references on exhibit A, I couldn't find an exhibit A. So things like that. Those are just two examples.
That's in the management contract.
Definitely.
I think the other contract is probably more accurate. And then the other thing is, we've got Coral Reef Partners LLC, Coral Reef LLC, Coral Reef Small L, Small L, Small C. If it's all one company, we got to clean that up too. So whatever the actual company name is what we should have.
That's defined in here.
Yeah. And I'm assuming it's probably all one, but sometimes companies do form subsidiaries, and I'm just not 100% sure.
Yeah, I do apologize. Again, we did, when we had some emergency issues, I threw this I know it's not, I know you guys had to read through these pages, but I had to put these together.
It's comprehensively. 91 pages, which is what we're looking through over the last, you know, at least for me, for the last 3 days.
I mean, there's any more highlights on this, on the solar side.
Do you have any actual real energy costs realized by the township? You mentioned something.
Energy cost or energy savings?
Energy savings, I mean. Are you going to realize any energy savings?
Yeah. It's particularly in the police command room. Particularly, I would say, only in the police department.
Mm-hmm.
Where right now what's happening is, and I think, stop me if I'm rehashing something, but right now you have one, that rooftop unit 4 serves both the command room and the offices.
Right.
So what happens is...
So when we iron out the temperature differences there and make it more efficient, we're going to actually save money
yeah.
by energy bills.
Yeah, so you'll have... we're not going to be running that electric heat 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
We'll be able to supplement those offices with gas heat. And have those boxes do what they were meant to do, which is just maintain within 2 to 3 degrees. And then the command room can be separated off.
Any estimate, I know it's difficult, but historically any estimate on what we can expect to see?
We did not run, if we were doing like a guaranteed energy savings project,
right.
we would actually run those calculations. But since we're not asking for any outlay of cash,
yeah.
and we're not basing anything on that, on those savings, or you know, if we were asking for to get those savings back,
right.
we would have run the calculations for you. But since we're not basing anything on those, we didn't run that back. We do estimate on the solar side over the course of that term, you would be saving a considerable amount of money as well from the solar.
So did we talk about two out of those three types of contracts? We have the solar contract. We have the transmission and procurement type contract.
Yeah.
Was there a third type
contract? Well, we started with the procurement side
of
contract.
Two of them.
Yeah, which was kind of two. Then we went into the capacity
Got
management and the solar.
Jay, is it part of your plan that you would provide an update to the township on some sort of regular basis, just so we kind of know where we are and how this is all working?
Yeah, I would love to. Again, yes. So the answer would be yes, and I think we should probably do. This one's going to move fairly quickly. We need to have everything up and running by the end of the year. So, but yes, we would give. Really, we can give monthly or
even
quarterly maybe updates.
Monthly.
and certainly once we get it implemented, we would like to give reports. And again, we're really looking for phase. We really want to show the results of phase one, so that so we can look at phase two and phase three.
Phase two is really it really builds momentum. Phase two.
Yes, and that's where we get into more actual energy savings.
Yeah.
Here we're just looking at cost avoidance and some fee savings. We're really not cutting energy, other than the police department.
Right.
We're cutting some peak hours, so I guess we're cutting a little bit of energy during that time, and we're avoiding costs and capital improvement costs. But I would be reporting to the township.
And more executive summary kind of spot. We don't need the 100 pages. And the phase two, that's something we're going to look at later. That's not part of this at all, right?
No, not at all. You may not even ever look at it later, but we would.
But those are, in fact, the efficiency things that I think really start to reduce our energy costs, our cost per square foot to operate the facility.
Yeah,
that's where we're going to see some real.
We're looking at about 4 years out from now.
Right now, we're really putting a band-aid on a leader.
Yeah.
Jay, could you clarify the deadline at the end of the year? Is that a credit deadline? You know, why has this, is that installed by hand?
Yeah, so the.
Does it all have to be done by hand?
The solar arrays have to be done by the end of the year. And that is for. The investors to be able to recoup that tax credit for the 2016 year. So in general, those guys pay quarterly taxes in, right? But if they know they have a certain amount of solar projects coming up, they will withhold those payments and then get, pay those toward the solar. In other words, if you have $200,000 of tax liability and you're going to build a solar array that gets you $200,000 in tax credits or breaks, you're not going to pay those quarterly payments in. You're going to wait to pay that toward the solar array. Then you get those credits. The problem is, if it doesn't get done by and online by December 31st, you can't use those credits for that current year. Now you haven't paid your taxes for that, for all those quarters. So when you do go to pay your 2016 taxes, you've got quite a penalty to pay as well. So that's the rush to kind of get it in by the end of the year. The rooftop units, we're going to get on. Hopefully those will get in by the end of the year. I gave us a little bit more time, only because I want to look at, make sure we put the right units, we match the right units up. So I want to spend some more time engineering. Can we use a heat wheel? Make sure that you be able to use gas heat year round. Well, obviously not during the summer, but be able to use the gas heat as a when we need it, as opposed to just in the morning. I want to take time and work on those issues to make sure it's the right fit. I mean, there's a unit, and then there's 30 variations within that unit. So that's what we want to make sure that we put the most efficient unit in.
And Jay, we make our final decision by the September 13th meeting. That gives everybody time to do this and complete it by the end of the year.
Yep.
So we have to make a decision before our next board meeting. And do that.
I think the final revision or final cleanup from Mr. Yost and Mr. Franklin's
account. That could conceivably be done by an addendum.
Yeah.
Whichever way is easier for you to do. I don't think the significant changes in the contract itself, though. You just do a bit of a search and probably pick up all
that. Could I, would it be inappropriate for me to contact you directly?
And Jay, thank you very much. And on that note, housekeeping purposes here for the board, I guess, John, obviously some of the things that we would look for the board would be whether any particular provisions of those agreements are particularly troublesome to us, any pitfalls, but I think you...
I went through it to the extent I could and gave you information. Anything you guys have individually based on our conversation today that I don't get a notice of or something,
right.
Send me an email and tell me what you want to make sure that we've dealt with so I can deal directly with Jay.
But just from a contractual standpoint and whether or not you've seen anything that are inconsistent in the written agreement from what Jay may have said, because obviously the written agreement is going to control, and if there's any risks or benefits that we didn't already discuss during the several hearings that we've had, obviously, we appreciate you heading up on this.
I'm not aware of any of that.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Just John's point in his email last night about comparing to other companies, this seems like such an unusual thing. I think it'd be difficult to compare what they're offering to another. I mean, initially I thought that was a good idea, but now listening, I think this is such a different kind of a solution that we might have a hard time finding another group that could do this, and I don't know what we'd gain from it, maybe in the long run, but I just wanted to throw that out. That was the one thing we didn't discuss this morning.
The package is unique, the way it's structured.
Yeah. It is structured, and most of the components are, anything related to the building management system is proprietary. So there's not really any interface or connection. So the monitoring of the solar, the actual capacity management, there's one piece of software, but that also helps control another piece of software. All those are also proprietary as well.
Now, there isn't any legal requirement, such as a procurement code or anything out there, that require us to get competitive bids.
I was concerned about that because this is so unique the way it's structured. think we're okay.
Okay.
Normally, we're shopping for electricity. We either do it through a consortium that was going, typically.
Right.
But it seems to me that the way this is structured, because everything kind of ties together, it helps to make the package work.
Right.
I'm comfortable.
Yeah, that was my...
That was probably on the county.
I was going to say, do we want that on here?
That would be concerned. We're not running afoul of any regulatory or statutory requirements in terms of how we go about doing it.
Yeah, but there are some exceptions. I don't know if it's truly a professional service. It is in a way, but if it's unique type of situation.
I think the big component, as I was looking at it, is we've got a third-party investor who's owning a big chunk of the asset that we would otherwise be bidding. We're not the buyer.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Right, yeah.
So I'm comfortable the way we're doing.
Okay. If you're comfortable, I'm comfortable.
A lot of that detail I wasn't aware of, and particularly the second word said, we may get reimbursed for this, like, gee, then we're buying the equipment, which we are, and that's fine. But I understand that.
Can I get your phone number, Mr. Yost?
Yeah. 717-579-7351. That's voicemail for the record.
So,
579-7351.
Okay.
I have one other question. Now, we're going to be exchanging some of our electric bill for a gas bill. How much is our gas bill going to go up? And are these units going to be capable of running air conditioning and gas, or would it just be?
No, it would just be heat. Again, it's not using natural gas as generation for your electric cooling, so it wouldn't be involved in your cooling side at all. It would just be the gas, and the impact. First of all, the gas impact would be minimal. We're not using it to heat the building throughout the day, just in the mornings, which it currently is. And at any time where we would see a large drop in temperature. And right now, since gas is so low, any offset would greatly benefit the township. In the future, if we were to have a switch where natural gas would come way up, there would be a net loss. However, at that point, you have two sources of heat, and you can then switch to just pure electric. But right now, we want to minimize the electric and maximize the gas. In the future, if you have a switch in how the commodities are priced, you would want to use then more electric heat and less gas heat, and that would be a simple programming change in the controllers.
The poor agreements. Okay.
With that, do I have a motion that the Township Manager execute an agreement with Coral Reef Partners, LLC for the Continued Energy Savings Program upon favorable review by our solicitor? The agreement with Coral Reef Partners, LLC for the Continued Energy Savings Program upon favorable review by our solicitor.
Moved
by Mr. Weir.
Seconded
by Ms. Court. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And any abstentions?
Just one.
You're abstaining?
Yeah. I have a contractual relationship.
Okay.
Landlord-tenant relationship with Mr. Franklin outside of exactly. So just to not have anything more.
Okay. The motion passes with 3 ayes and 1 abstention. Anything else for consideration by the board? No? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Foley. I'll second that. And this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Jay, just text me and give me your
okay.
Either way.
No problem.
Oh, no.